Yay.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the newest episode of the Static Podcast. I am Robert.
I'm John.
And I am Rupert.
Rupert Fulcini, the Italian horror film director.
I have a yacht.
I have a yacht.
And your name's Chris.
Yeah, there's that as well. Yachtless Chris, they call me.
Yachtless. The song that we opened with today was from the band Deftones, and it was called Be Quiet and Drive. And as you can plainly guess, that's who we're talking about today.
And as you
My
can
pick.
also plainly guess, yeah, Robert's pick.
Yeah, my pick. Take me back to middle school.
As you so often do.
I rarely ever do. This is the first time I've ever gone back really
Did
far.
this, you did Brand New.
That wasn't me.
That
That
wasn't
was you.
him. That
That was
No,
him.
that was not him. That was Randy.
I'm sorry, are you not married anymore? Because that's what marriage is, man. What's
So
mine
you
is
mean to tell
yours,
me that
and
you take all responsibility for Sam's picks?
yeah, that's why my life is so miserable. That's what I have to live with every day. Yeah, Deftones.
Deftones. They are founded in 95, 96 out in Sacramento, California. First album came out around that time, Adrenaline. That's when I kind of latched onto them. They were, I guess, quote unquote, part of the new metal scene along with Limp Bizkit and Korn. But clearly, or I can't say clearly, but in my mind, they have transcended that and they've become so much more than their peers ever could possibly become. Still putting out phenomenal music. They just put out an album last year that was a critical darling. And Chris was woefully unfamiliar with them. And John
Woefully.
was familiar, yeah, woefully, and I will say that and mean it. And John was mainly familiar with just one album from them.
I entirely familiar with them only from one album. Yes.
So I as I'm so apt to do with my playlist that I share with John and Chris, I did it chronologically to highlight the growth of the band. And I just want to start off. We did predictions, both John and I. I want to start off before we even start talking about them. John predicted Chris would give Deftones four dinosaur juniors. I said six, and I think I way overshot.
Well, I guess you'll just have to wait till the end of the episode to find out.
So yeah, Chris, what did you think? Going back to
Uh,
middle school,
yeah.
yeah.
It was a lot like going back to middle
It
school
was.
and sitting behind, that kid in class that's got the Korn, sticker on his backpack. And I mean,
Did we
in
go to
the
middle school together? Did you sit
yeah,
behind me?
I think I sat behind you in middle school in Miami, right?
Yeah,
Or
Horse
was it
Cave High School.
Ohio with Wilco and Jen? There was, yeah, so like Adrenaline and Around the Fur. I mean, that's right in that, like you put it best, that Korn Limp Bizkit ballpark. A 5 or 6 years later, would be followed up with like shit like Linkin Park and that whole scene there, that screamo kind of pop screamo, which is it, I find unlistenable. Like I just can't do it. And I can't, and beyond that, I can't really respect it. Which I think is a lot worse. So, but then you get into White Pony and you do see this weird experimental evolution of the band. Like you're right, like they're trying to distinguish themselves. Like they're trying, like what I think, experimental rock. I don't know. I was thinking Muse at the time, with the way they tried to experiment with rock when they first got out there by just ripping off Radiohead. That's how I felt about like White Pony, in which you had like these really good progressions. You had these experimental things they're doing, still real shit lyrics and vocal delivery, and still pretty bad, but like at least I could respect it at that point.
Which one? White
Sadly,
Pony?
yeah,
White
White
Pony, yeah.
Pony, yeah,
And then
which
sadly,
is
they take
still.
a
And then
bad
sadly,
turn.
yeah, it's just that's where it ends for me. Like it's like they stopped being experimental by and large. They kind of went they refined their, in my interpretation at least, they refined their sound. They kind of blanded it over and kind of just like, this is what we are for every song from now on. And I think John was saying in the chat a bit back, you know, this is boring. And I don't know what album or what song specifically he was referring to, but after White Pony, that's kind of just how I felt about everything I was listening to, is I was just kind of just bored with it. You know, no disrespect to them, but White Pony, I was thinking like, okay. And, you know, I said this about Brand New too, where they took that turn and they're like, no, let's try to distinguish ourselves. Let's try and actually be a fucking legit band. And they accomplished that to a degree. And I think, boy, they really could have gotten better than Linkin Park, at least, you know. But yeah, I don't have any special, after all of this, have any special love for them. I think that I might have. I'm surprised they're still making music, actually. And maybe that's what really distinguishes them, is that they just didn't give up. two Dinosaur Juniors.
Two? Okay.
Oh, whoa.
No, that's fine.
So I have a similar experience to what Chris just said. It's odd because I like the stuff that came before White Pony better than what came after it. Even though I can see that it's, like I said, it's more young band kind of stuff. They haven't honed the craft as well on the earlier albums, but it's almost more honest. I don't know if that makes sense. And then later, in the later years, I'm listening to it and I'm thinking, this is technically a great song, you know, yeah. But there's depth to it. There's different things there that I can recognize, but I don't feel anything about it.
Yeah, and that's what it's kind of tragic with a lot of their stuff I was listening to, and still even on the early albums, with the guitar progressions, there is depth there. There's interesting things that they're doing. It's just, you know, maybe it's just a product of their what they're doing in their genre, you know, that it's just gonna end up being shit, you know. But there's, I mean, like, technically very good, and like there's so much potential there in those first three albums that I just get so disappointed when they didn't make anything of it, at least in my opinion, ultimately, although still a very technically good band.
Well, and yeah, and the later albums, I listened to those, and look, I had a slightly different take, but I think it's similar to what you said about, they're like, well, this is what we do now. My thought was, well, they figured out what kind of band they want to be. I don't know. I think it's a shade of difference there, but
sure.
I didn't feel negative to me, because I'm like, oh, well, they found their sound. This is what they sound like now. As opposed to, this is the only thing they sound like now, you know.
yeah, different shades. Because
yeah, some of those later albums, there are some, I listen to a lot of the playlist, for one on shuffle, because I didn't spend my signing bonus on Spotify Premium. But I listened to a lot about Out of Order, so that was, it kind of defeated your purpose, Robert, of giving us something where we could learn the progression. But I paid attention to what album things were coming from and made mental note of it and everything. Bad thing is, I did not remember the song titles of what songs they were. But there's some stuff in the later catalog that I'm like, oh, this is going somewhere, and it just never connected with me, though. I don't know. I wanted it to so bad, because I do. I love White Pony. It's one of my favorite heavy rock albums. And maybe it's because I love it so much that I'm judging everything against it. That's entirely possible. I could be entirely full of shit.
I was so psyched with White Pony after Digital Bath. Like, I heard Digital Bath and I was like, man, this is, I could listen to this one again. Good. Yeah. I was like, I could dig on this for a bit. And then, like, you get to Knife Party, and it's really good. It's such a cheesy, awful, you know, lyric wise it's almost silly, you know, like I feel like bad for them writing the lyrics to this song, but it's a really good song otherwise. Like, right. If it were in a different language and I didn't know any better, I'd be like, all right, this is all right. And so for our listeners on this playlist from White Pony, he, what is this? How do you pronounce this?
Felicitera.
There's no L there.
Oh,
it's not even close to what it is. You're just making shit up. There's that one.
Fetissiera.
I'm too busy
Felicity.
Trying to mend my broken heart over you two, but it's okay.
That's fine.
I'll sit here quiet.
Good luck. Digital Bath, Teenager, Knife Party, spelled cleverly, and then Change in the House of Flies.
Yeah, Change in the House of Flies, I dig. It's funny because
I think that one's good too, yeah.
I knew that song from radio back when I listened to the radio, terrestrial radio or whatever, and I didn't know it was Deftones until I got White Pony, and it was an album that my friend Caleb had burned for me. He burned White Pony for me, and he was just like, here, you got to listen to this. This is great, and this is not the type of music that he was even he was listening to at the time, but he just appreciated it on an aesthetic level and everything. And I never listened to it. I just kind of was like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. Deftones, I've heard of them. They're that heavy band. You know, I didn't, which I was listening to heavy stuff at the time, but I don't know. I just didn't decide to listen to it. And it wasn't until I was on college radio years later, I was driving to the station to go to work and somebody was playing Digital Bath. And I didn't know who it was. And especially when he starts hitting those higher notes at the end, I'm like, holy crap, who is this? And I called the station. I was 5 minutes away. I was going to be there in a couple minutes. I called the station. I was like, who's playing this song? What song is this? And that's when I went back to the Burn CD my friend Caleb made, listened to the whole album. And then I hear Change in the House of Flies. I'm like, oh, I've been missing out on this whole time because I like that song. I just didn't know it was Deftones. So I don't know. That just those two songs were kind of the bookends of what got me into Deftones' White Pony.
Yeah, I think those two are good. And to be fair, and I told this to Robert before, I got through Saturday Night Wrist is where I got up to in his playlist. So their latest two albums I didn't dive into, although I did. Right before the cast, preview a couple off of Koi no Yokan, and it just kind of I would have said things different, you know, if I, you know, but I said what I said, so they're fine, like, you know, it's their sound, that's what they do, you know, and it's just not it's like not much like John, yeah, and it's not for everyone, and that's totally cool, and I don't respect you any less for. We're still digging it, though. It's so hard to respect you less than I already do, Robert.
I dug of some of the later stuff off of was it Diamond Eyes? Is that the album name?
Yeah.
I liked Sex Tape.
Okay.
I don't know. I found that one interesting. It was one of the ones where I've spent a couple days listening to this on shuffle as I was working. So I'm kind of half listening, half paying attention. And that's one where I was like, wait, what's going on in this one here? I'm going to tune in for a second. You know, that was one. Actually, the stuff that I liked post White Pony, I think all came from Diamond Eyes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's your turn.
Yeah. Oh, because that's the thing. I'm surprised that you guys had as much to say about the band as you did. I thought it was just going to kind of be a quick blurb about them and then I have to come in and talk, but I'm really happy that you said everything you did. Obviously, I disagree with both of you wholeheartedly. simply because I will agree with you on the earlier work because I flat out said it. It's what it is. Like, the first two albums are very much them trying to find their sound and trying to find their way in the world, I guess, musically. And I think they were just succumbing to what was popular at the time, especially on their first album. The big thing that I felt set them aside from everything else that was going on the radio was not so much the lyrics, because the lyrics are just sometimes nonsensical bullcrap that he's just sputtering into the microphone, but his delivery, I actually appreciate, I really do enjoy his lyrical delivery of the lyrics and his singing and everything like that. Stephen Carpenter, the guitarist for the band, I feel you could chart a progression throughout all the albums of his growth and how he goes from a simple, you know, almost thrash punk rock metal sound on the first one, and then he grows to become more and more of a technical guitarist, and he develops his sound into more lush tones, especially getting into later albums.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And then you have Around the Fur, which starts to somewhat experiment with a little bit of the sound and a little bit of the sound, you know, manipulation and sound development that you're going to hear on White Pony. You hear like precursors. And listening to what you said, Chris, I really wish I could redo my playlist and pick other songs, because I don't think I pick songs that you would have liked as much as I liked. I picked the playlist for me. I didn't pick the playlist for you. And in hindsight, that was probably the worst thing I could do.
Because I don't know. I mean,
there's other songs that if I picked them and put them on the playlist, I think you would be saying something different.
That might be true.
Give me the opportunity, I would love to do that.
I would absolutely welcome that. I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, you make me any fucking playlist you want, I'll listen to it, of course. I was initially turned off just by, you know, kind of that adolescent sort of, you know, aura they had. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's middle school, it's 1995, and I latched onto it at a time when I was, you know, going through my first musical development in life, you know, when kids are trying to find their way through the fucking shark tank that is middle school, you know. And for some reason or another, this band just stuck with me. And while I listened to other bands, you know, I listened to Dookie from Green Day, and I listened to this band and that band and Offspring or whatever it is, I could not tell you anything about those albums or anything like that. This band, for some reason or another, just stuck with me throughout the course of time.
I think your Deftones are my Green Day.
Well, it's fun. You know, and I'm glad you bring that up, too, because you guys know this, I don't particularly care for Green Day. Or, you know, Blink 182, or any of those other bands that were really popular around that time. And I don't think it was just because it was middle school.
Adolescent. They're very immature. There's a difference between the punk sound of the 70s and 80s and the rebellious, fast lifestyle that those, you know, artists lived compared to what we now refer as like pop punk.
That's a large component in it, you know, because what you see towards the end of the 90s are the bands that are anti that, you know. That kind of resurgence of like, no, fuck suburban, you know, you guys have no idea what it actually means to be punk, you know. And it's and it's really, really good, you know. But there's that stretch there throughout most of the 90s that and it was also popular, I couldn't identify. And Offspring was another one you mentioned. I just couldn't identify with any of it.
And then to bring it back to like this metal scene, you had that this new wave of all these metal acts such as like Mushroom Head and Mudvayne and Deftones and Korn and Limp Bizkit and all these other bands. And the thing that I think I latched on to Deftones so much compared to all these other groups is those other bands are just like the pop punk bands. They were doing
versions of
it, metal, but yeah, they were doing versions of it. They weren't trying to, I guess, push the music. They were just doing what was comfortable, or they were doing what was popular, whatever thing is. With Deftones, obviously, as you guys mentioned, they started off with that thrash punk metal sound, and then they kind of developed it into something similar, something bridging into the future. And then they go completely left field with White Pony, in which they really, you know, they bring on a DJ, you know, I guess alternate keyboardist, whatever, Frank Delgado. And he just starts doing all the sound manipulation and starts doing these cool loops and these cool unique things, you know, in post-production, everything like that. Whereas Korn was still just down to
doing Korn
a D and just grinding away,
doing that slap bass.
Exactly.
Well, the thing with White Pony and what I think sets them apart from those other bands, there's really two things I think sets them apart from their genre where they were brought up in. For one, I can't name another band from that era that has their sound.
Yeah.
They have something going on that's completely unique within a genre that doesn't have a lot of uniqueness to it. The other thing is, you take a song like Digital Bath, the chorus is freaking heavy. That's a heavy chorus, but the song I think itself is beautiful. And you didn't get a lot of that. You just got that angsty, like you said, Korn. It was just kind of angsty drop D, mm-hmm. you know, outward expression of inner aggression, whereas this was heavy rock that had cool melodies and could be beautiful without compromising that freaking hardcore sounding guitar, you know. So that's to me where I have respect for them, even if, you know, like I said, some of their later catalog leaves me meh, you know, I can still listen to it and say I get what these guys are doing, you know.
And I'll even go on to say I everything that you guys have said I agree with. I honestly do. I just see it, I guess, in a different light, and I have more of a connection with them because I do agree with you on their next two albums, you know, self-titled Deftones, and then after that, Saturday Night Wrist. I think they're their worst two albums that they possibly could have made. Okay. They're just, as you said, bleh. There wasn't really anything that attracted me to them. It wasn't until later on in my personal life where I went back and re-listened to them. I was like, oh, actually, you know, they were trying to do, I don't know if they were just trying to recapture a sound or they were trying to still try to do something different or what they were experimenting with or what, but it didn't work. At least I applaud them for trying to do something at least different than everybody, you know, all their contemporaries are trying to do.
Well, it's funny. I almost have that experience with some of the Wilco albums, when we all know how much I love Wilco. For a while, especially, like, I did not get Yankee Hotel Foxtrot until A Ghost Is Born came out. And then I look back and I was like, oh, now it makes sense. Same thing with when A Ghost Is Born came out. I was like, okay, that's nice. Sky Blue Sky came out. And then it's like I was delayed a couple albums or something in appreciating it. It's almost like, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because it's like you start to build a bigger construct of what the band is within their catalog. And this piece may not fit right now, but once it's a cog in a bigger thing, you can look back and kind of get where those albums fit into the bigger picture.
And even if it's not necessarily, I mean, and I, once again, yes, you know, this song may not make sense at this point, but as you can see it from a bridge from point A to point C, you know, this point B becomes clearer once you move further along in the discography, but also once you have your own personal experiences and your own personal you know, things to draw on, maybe you can go back and re-listen to it, and even if you still don't appreciate like the song, you can still appreciate it for maybe pulling something from it. And then after those two albums, as I mentioned, probably the worst two albums in their catalog, one of the founding members, the bassist Chi Chang, was in a car accident in 2008 and put into a coma and paralyzed. And they were working on an album at the time that was shelved, and then they brought in a new bassist by the name of Sergio Vega, who had toured with them and did some like background noises, basically just whatever it was, and they completely, you know, trashed an album and started back from scratch. And then you have Diamond Eyes and Koi no Yokan, and in my opinion, it's almost like a resurgence. And once again, this goes back to Chris, I want to redo a list, you know, a shortened list, not, you know, a truncated list, nothing like 27 tracks, maybe like 12. Just something more succinct that maybe would draw you in a little bit more. And when we're in the precast, you mentioned that you didn't really get a chance to listen to those last two albums, and I kind of heavy sighed because I was like, in my opinion, this is like a renaissance. This is them truly coming into their own and finding their own sound and really building and finding something great to draw on. And I don't know if it was because of the change in bassist or the change in mindset that, you know, mortality, anything you want to put your own spin on it. But there's this great sound that comes in after the accident that happened in 2008. He recently passed away as well. He never fully recovered. He was in a coma for 4 years and died of pneumonia. He could only move like his finger. So, but yeah, that's why I was a little bummed that you didn't get a chance to listen, or you didn't get to listen to those two albums. I want you to kind of go back in and get into them. So
yeah, no, I yeah, for sure. I mean, if you want, when you're making your revised playlist, if you just want to throw in some of that at the end as well, that would be it'd probably be the best way to do it. And then
I picked this because as I mentioned before, we've talked about bands that both of you have really had personal connections and that you love and everything like that. And I just kept picking, you know, bands, just whatever. Let's talk about so-and-so. And then I was like,
let's talk about Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah, whatever. And so I was like, you know what? Let me pick a band that I've been listening to for almost 20 years now that has grown with me and grown in them of themselves as an act that I have a connection with. So,
well, it's interesting because I would say, you know, buzzword drinking game, Death Cab for Cutie is that band that I've grown with that a lot of people don't get. You know, they're kind of one of those bands, you either like them or you don't. There's really not very many passive fans of Death Cab for Cutie, you know. And I looking back on their catalog, I can see where, okay, this album actually kind of sucks, but it matters to me, you know, and it I connect with it because my life overlaps with, you know, where they're going with it and whatnot. So I think we all have a band like that, you know, in this group where it makes the most sense to us, but you know,
it may not make sense to anybody else.
But we can understand why we have that kind of connection with it, because we have our own connection with something else, you know. That's kind of what I look at it as.
I also wanted to ask both of you a question, and it's something that Chris touched on. Even if it was a joke, if it was real, whatever it may have been, you made the comment that one thing that you can give them is the fact that they're still persevering and making music. And we talked about, you know, bands like Green Day and NoFX and Offspring and everything like that, where they kind of petered out and then came back, or, you know, there was a big lull in their career, or, you know, out of the limelight. Blink-182 like broke up and then came back together. And then even if we talk about their, you know, Deftones companion artists, Korn just completely faded away and Limp Bizkit imploded, and no one ever talks about any of those other bands.
First of all, I talk about Limp Bizkit all the time.
I talked about Limp Bizkit this morning.
I'm not gonna lie,
with
I've
Jen.
Seen Limp Bizkit in concert. So, and I've seen Korn in concert.
Jen and I literally talked about Limp Bizkit this morning. Well, Limp Bizkit, to Fred Durst's credit, and it's very, I mean, this is a small opportunity to give Fred Durst credit, but I'm going to do it. Even he said in an interview at the height of the Limp Bizkit stuff, he's like, nobody's going to be listening to Limp Bizkit in 10 years. We're not a giant, you know, life-changing band. It's like, we're riding it out till we're done. He got his gig developing artists for some record label, and they just said, you know, whatever, I'm out. Yeah. But at least I, for as cheesy and terrible as Limp Bizkit is, at least Fred Durst knew he was in on a joke. He didn't take himself seriously. Yeah. It was a means to an end.
Selling this $15 fucking albums. You know, I mean, no free ride for Fred Durst.
But what I was gonna ask is, do you honestly give credit? And I'm gonna sum it all up with a quote from a movie. Do you honestly give credit to bands that, no matter if their fans love them or if their fans are, you know, fleeing in droves or whatever it may be, do you give them credit for continuing to persevere and try new things and maybe
I think that's an easy course, you know. I mean, because at that point you're doing it for the music, which you should be to a large degree anyway. I think you had, as an artist, depending on the image you have for yourself, you probably more than likely have an obligation to your fans. That's almost always the case. Although art is one of those, you know, nebulous sort of things where that's not always the case. But if you don't have an obligation to your fans, then you better damn well have an obligation to your art.
to make the best you possibly can.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as long as you're doing what you want and you're still doing it consistently, of course, that's something to respect whether or not you like what it is.
It walks a fine line because you have certain artists that are out there producing new albums every other year, every 3 years or something like that. And after a certain point, it almost just feels like the only reason they're making music is just to continue, you know, to have money to pay their mortgage or to have money to pay their alimony or whatever it is. At a certain point, certain artists just feel like they gave up and they're just, you know, relying on that formula in order to cash a check.
I'll say that
band is Nickelback.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think we listen to, but that's the thing, is like we don't listen to bands like that, you know, for good reason, you know. One begets the other, you know. They have every right to be, you know. People like them, you know. That's people's taste in music, you know. So they're doing. We don't have to like them. It's mostly chicks, yeah. Listening
that's,
to Buck
that's Harry. Why I'm in Writerless. I mean, come on.
I'm in it for all the pussy.
This is the moment where our show jumped the shark.
By the way, great episode of Happy Days. One of the highest rated, and it had like 5 seasons after that episode. So yeah, I just jumped the shark. With
hey guys,
talk.
You know what? Guess what? We have a TV podcast that you can talk about television on now.
Yeah.
Do we?
We were supposed to record it tonight, but...
Surprise. Concert. Robert stretched a little thin.
No, for his birthday.
You would be simulcasting both.
I would. No,
putting us on hold. Like sitcom style. Going to the different dances, you know.
Whenever me and Chris are talking, Robert's talking on the other cast.
I mean, you had no idea what I was doing for those first 15 minutes that you guys were talking. I was quiet. I didn't say anything.
I was assuming you were just jacking it.
I mean, that would be a normal day, but today was recording of both podcasts. So,
but today was also a Deftones day.
Yeah. No, but we were supposed to record tonight. I forgot. For his birthday, I bought him tickets to a show. So him and his
The Bulls game.
He lives in D.C.
They're not playing in Washington tonight.
No, they're not. He went to St. Paul and the Broken Bones out there in D.C.
Nice.
Cool.
Good. I just realized, and I'm not gonna go back. I just want to comment: we didn't play a single song from this band.
Let's do it. Let's play one of the good ones.
John wanted to close with Digital Back.
You wanted to, so that limits it a little bit. Actually, yeah. I mean, why don't you play something off of Diamond Eyes or Koi No Yokan? Because you made such a brave and noble effort defending them.
I did like Diamond Eyes. I will say that song, one. Diamond Eyes? The song, but this everything I heard from that album, I was like, it's solid stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I'll go ahead and I'll you like Sex Tape, didn't you, John? Did you?
I do.
Sex Tape, or I was gonna put You've Seen the Butcher. You've Seen the Butcher.
Ooh, no, I'll do that one. Do that one.
Okay. Right here is You've Seen the Butcher from Deftones off the album Diamond Eyes. I've seen them live 5 times. I was thinking about it when the song was playing. Yeah, every time they go on tour, I try to catch them.
I think the only artist I've ever seen 5 times is Derek Webb. You guys probably haven't heard of him.
No.
When I say you guys, I'm not talking about. When I say you guys, I'm talking about any of our listeners.
No, he did the song to Questlove, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He was that guy.
Yeah. I've seen him. You guys probably haven't heard of him. He's real underground.
No, but I I think the first time I saw him was in high school, all the way to high school until I caught him like 3 years ago. I've seen them 5 times total. So
nice. I wanted to talk about their covers.
Oh.
Because you know I love cover songs. I think you love cover songs, Robert.
Yeah, I put 2 of their covers on here, actually.
Yeah.
That's right. And then, so I really dig the Sade cover because I love that song to begin with. Yeah. I'm kind of a Sade fan, actually.
There's no yeah. That.
Yeah.
Lovers
I mean,
Rock is a great album.
Lovers Rock is what did it for me there. That is, there's just such great stuff going on that album. Yeah. Chris, I think you
disagree. On that.
Have you listened to it?
Yep. My old assistant manager was a huge Sade fan.
I don't know why when John says he's a Sade fan, I'm like, oh, right on. And then you go, my old assistant manager was a Sade fan. I just want to laugh.
Yeah. And my ex was a huge Sade fan, so I'm pretty familiar.
Oh,
with
what was his name?
Yeah.
My old assistant manager or my ex?
That was a Chris's gay joke.
Oh, that took me a bit. That took me a bit.
It's okay.
Cool.
But anyways, back to the covers.
How progressive.
I dug that, and I please let me get what I want. I like that song in general. I generally like every cover of it.
It's a
but
weird
yeah.
cover though.
It's a very weird cover, but I respect it. I can dig that.
They also do covers of Simple Man, which is I like that song. They do a cover of The Chauffeur. I've seen them live do a cover of Katy Perry's Firework.
Why?
I've done a cover of Katy Perry's Firework, so they
have
are
you?
In good company. Yeah, yeah, I can hit the high note on that one.
My my kids love that song.
You should,
dance
to it in
the
club
cover
a lot.
Of it. You should send
oh,
me
God.
Your cover of it for the kids because they like your other songs that you've written. So
I really write children's music mostly.
I still want to hear that Doc McStuffins cover you've done.
Oh God,
it's awful and. Great.
it's a little dark to be labeled
kind of like
children's
the song
song
I was working on the song I was working on right before the cast. Actually, I was in the middle of recording when Robert called me with Skype, and I was like, oh, that's on the recording now. All right,
yeah.
Cool. But anyways, that song is either going to be awesome or terrible.
The one
and probably both.
All right, real quick, let's do this. Let's
okay.
give out Dinosaur Juniors. Chris, are you sticking with two?
Yeah, no, I would like to say one final thing.
No, go ahead.
In defense, not that I was tuning you out, but I just didn't have a response ready when you were near very passionate.
That's fine.
And I felt, because I felt bad, you know,
no,
I felt like I didn't do my due justice to them listening to their two latest albums. My defense, just for the record, is if I listen to five of your albums
and
I
like
two songs,
yeah, no.
You know.
No, I completely agree with you. And that's why I want to make a list. Hopefully that you can maybe at least we've talked about in the past where we've made lists and then, you know, like John made, I can't remember what artist it was. I think it was it Death Cab, where he made a Death Cab list and then you actually went off of his list and checked out other songs.
I did. And I liked them more. So
exactly.
I'm again,
you listened to every album like in order, if I remember right.
Yep.
And that
yeah,
was after
I'm,
the podcast.
I'm a Death Cab fan now. I have no qualms saying that. I'm always more than happy to listen, Robert. So go ahead.
I will never be a Deftones fan. At this point, I'm not giving up. I've just, you know, resigned to the fact that they're not for you. I mean, obviously, not all music is made for all people. But if
right.
I can at least give you a playlist that you can get something out of, I would be happy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I will give everything. It's fair.
Another example, Kanye West, you don't like him, but Two Words, it's a great song.
Two Words is a really great song.
So, John?
Dinosaur Juniors?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 7.
I'm gonna put it up there. Obviously, I can't give them a perfect score because I've trashed their middle discography. So I'll give them like a 8.75.
No. Okay.
But the reason I wanted to cut that there, because we started to go into covers, I was going to ask you guys, off the top of your head, do you have favorite covers?
I have a whole playlist on Spotify that are of covers.
Just in general?
Yeah, just in general. Not from Deftones, just over
time. I was going to make a blog post about this on the site, but
Because
what
we could do is we could, if we each have like 3 or 4 favorite covers, I can put it for the 5 for Friday tomorrow, and I can say 15 for Friday.
Whoa.
That's cool. And our new blog contributor, Jen, was thinking about doing a regular covers post. So I'm putting
it
on blast.
Is it all
going to
be Dave Matthews Band? Because
covers of Dave Matthews Band songs.
By Dave Matthews Band. Covers of Dave Matthews.
Dave.
Yep.
It's just Dave Matthews without the band. He's covering the Dave Matthews Band song, but it's by Dave Matthews.
But like, we're still with like, you know, a lot of instruments. Not
right.
just him doing.
So you're saying Dave Matthews is just it's the Dave Matthews one man band.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, no, of course. I was going to say, I just recently discovered my new favorite hobby is just typing in a song that I like.
Yeah.
And seeing who's done a cover of it. I'm so late to the party on this, but I did it's it the fun. Other. It's so great. It's so great. Cause I like good covers as much as anybody else. So I think that's a noble, the only thing that, I mean, I'd have to think, but the only thing that obviously comes to mind, and John, I think will agree, is Ryan Adams, Wonderwall, yeah, is in mind, you know.
I was late to that party for sure. And it's fantastic.
It's, you know, it's just great. It's just a great version. And Ryan Adams forever. That's the tattoo I have.
I just sent you guys both my current covers playlist, and I just throw stuff in there whenever I hear it and I like it. So
yeah. I've actually contributed to that playlist. I've sent you covers for that list.
Yeah, that you sent me Deftones.
Do you want me to throw on that Ryan Adams Wonderwall track?
I already have it.
No, I mean,
oh, like podcast. On for the podcast? Yeah, yeah, why not?
Chris, are you cool with that?
Wasn't even listening, so you got my approval to do whatever.
All right. This is the song Wonderwall, originally done by Oasis, but covered by Ryan Adams off of his Love Is Hell album. Here we go.
By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe in anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat to what is on the street, that the fire in your heart is out. And I'm sure you've heard it all before, you never really had a doubt.
He brings something really different and just great energy to that. Ryan Adams does.
Yeah.
Agreed. It was funny. I was just looking over your list, John. I was trying to count how many Sleeping at Last. We haven't all done a Sleeping at Last.
All of them.
Did you get his covers volume one? It's like 12 tracks.
Yeah, I guess I haven't put all those on there. Well, now that I don't work at our old job, I don't have as much time to spend to listen to Spotify,
which is
funny to say, but. Yeah,
well, it's true. One of these days we'll do a Sleeping at Last show. That'll be a sad, sad emotional show.
We should bring Jen on for that cast because she is a recent convert. Mostly because she watches Grey's Anatomy.
Whatever sells, whatever gets him exposure. He's happy about it. He does Kid President, you know. So,
got to make a living somehow.
Did I send you that that cover of I'm Trying to Break Your Heart by J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound?
You may have, but
it's
I'd already
on your
heard
list.
That. Oh, yeah, I know.
I
yeah.
love that. I
love I'd that heard version. That a while back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a good one. You sent me, was it the Mr. Little Jeans Suburbs cover?
Yeah, that's a really good version of that.
It's pretty good. I like, where's the one here?
You're the one who sent me. Did I send you? I think you sent me the Miguel and Wale Benny and the Jets cover.
Yeah, that's just freaking crazy. Yeah, it's fun. I like the part that's like, what the hell is a mohair suit anyways? Or something like that, like as the song's fading out. Yeah. that's a good.
That's funny.
I've never seen this Jason Joseph Electric Feel cover.
Oh, listen to that. It is good. It is good. It is really good.
Chris, did you have one that you wanted me to throw on for our audience to check out?
No. Well, hold on.
Taking
know.
Requests at the DJ
Taking
booth.
Requests.
Ugh, you guys are the worst.
Karaoke.
Give me a second. I'll see if I can find some.
I've talked about it before, and I think
you could do "Row Jimmy" off of Decemberists' "Long Live the King."
All right, hold on a second.
It's like 7 minutes.
That reminds me, to see the link I post on your wall, Chris?
Yeah. I had actually read, because I subscribed to his feed as well. It was actually very funny.
It was very funny.
Well, it's neat too, because I was thinking about the playlist I made for you guys. What John's referring to is Colin Malloy, lead singer of the Decemberists, posted someone had made a fake title track list for a happy Decemberists album, and it's, you know, just all the antitheses of the
very
themes
stuff.
Yeah, which is funny because I was going to say, I don't think I threw a lot of that stuff on the playlist that I made for you guys specifically. A lot of their, I don't want to say novelty music, but, you know, their period pieces and their things like that. I didn't really throw it, like Legionnaire's Lament and, you know, Chimney Sweep and things like that. I don't think I threw a lot of that on there, but it is a good swath of their catalog, and it's certainly the stuff that for a long time they were known for. So it was really funny. One was like, you know, something died. I don't remember. They were funny.
I'm trying to call it up as we're talking here, because they're too good not to share.
Yeah, some of them were better than others, but they were overall pretty. So yeah, Colin posted it as well. I was like, I actually laughed out loud at this. Oh, actually, no. Change that. Strike okay. that.
I was about to say, do you want me to play that song now, or you want to do something?
No, I want to do their cover of Please Daddy Don't Get Drunk This Christmas.
hold on one second. Something else is playing. What's playing over here?
No idea.
I don't know what that was. Sorry to the listeners apparently playing a clip in the background that I don't know how it got there.
I think my favorite one from that list was, This Lighthouse Isn't Haunted.
What album is that on? No, it's the one I told you. It's off of an EP they did called Connect Set. If you just search Please
I'm
Daddy.
I'm on there.
It's almost at the very bottom.
Okay.
Yeah, if anybody is a Decemberists fan out there and hasn't listened to Connect Set, it was just a quick thing that came out right around the time of Crane Wife and their kind of more minimal acoustic unplugged versions of three of their songs off that album, and they're pretty good.
Right, here we go. This is Please Daddy Don't Get Drunk for This Christmas by the Decemberists. Here we go.
Get drunk this Christmas. I don't want to see my mama cry. Just last year when I was only 7. Now I'm almost 8. You can see. You came in 11:15.
Sounds fun.
It's a lot of fun. I always put it on my Christmas mixes. Another one, if you guys are interested, and you don't have to play this, but they also do a really good cover with the Chieftains of Dylan's When the Ship Comes In. Also very good. If you guys have Spotify, look it up on your own time. It's fun.
Awesome. Very nice. So I was going to also ask, because I think we're getting close to time here.
Yeah, we are.
Have you guys been listening to anything cool lately or no?
No, I've been stuck listening to this shit band called the Deftones. It's been fucking rough.
Hey, I understand that you're not a fan of them, but let's leave it at that.
Go ahead, Mr. Chris.
I was just going to say no, so you're up.
All right, so I've been listening to the new Basement Tapes quite a bit.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Whatever they have on Spotify, I've been digging that groove. So, yay!
Yay!
Yeah, I saw that in my feed. You were listening to that, and I was like, I don't know what that is, so I'm not gonna listen to it.
It's Dylan inspired stuff. It's like Jim James, Elvis Costello,
Marcus Mumford.
Yeah, Marcus Mumford. There's a it's a super group.
Yeah. Oh, okay, interesting. Maybe I'll check it out.
It's worthwhile. Check out Nothing to It. That's my favorite one on that. It's good. Yeah. It's good times.
Actually, Robert, you go with your thing first.
I was just going to say I've switched into music discovery mode where I just start listening to random songs that I find on SoundCloud, YouTube.
Thinking about this morning because you sent me those links the other day.
Yeah.
So it's just like random. And I was just thinking about how rare it is for me to get into that passionate. I just want to find new music,
yeah.
You know, especially with Spotify now.
You fall into the loop where you just want to listen to the stuff you know.
Exactly, and you know, discover more about the stuff I know. So it's been such a while, and I just pictured you like a space vacuum cleaner just devouring, like a vacuum cleaner in space is how I pictured you on my drive to work this morning. There's all new music everywhere, like you just can't get enough of it in your fucking bag.
It's every so, I mean, obviously I'll always retreat back to the stuff we know or the stuff that has impacted you over the course of, because around this time is when I start trying to wrap up my 2014 top 10 albums, you know, released this year. So I start going back and maybe covering songs or albums that I've missed over the course of the year and trying to find stuff. But, you know, if I've already feel very confident with what I have right now, I just go into new music mode and listen to this new song or that new artist or whatever it is. And I'm not going to go through any of the artists that I recently discovered. I'm going to go through like the top five lists that I have saved here of stuff that I need to listen to. Stephanie Rembrell, I have no idea who that is. It's an Americana song, according to the tag here. A, you know, folk rock group by the name of Forever Lesbians. I'm probably not going to like them. Calcheron, the name of the song is Deep Side. It says Synthwave. I have no idea. Let's check it out. Celia Pavey, the only reason I saved her is because she's doing a cover of Feel Good Inc. Could be interesting. Oh, and then actually I did listen to this. It's the Spandex Sweet and Saccharine, which I sent to you. And it's fun. It's listenable.
Yeah, that one's, that was interesting. Yeah, you're like a space vacuum cleaner.
Space vacuum cleaner. Just hoovering.
Hoovering over Spotify.
The one I sent to Shen and I didn't send to you, and I don't know if you listened to it, Shen, is this band called Wolfpack.
Yeah, yeah, you sent me that last night when we were chatting.
Yeah, it's a, I dig it's it. A funk band, yeah. It's
weird.
Funky. Yeah.
Weird but good. I like it. I liked it.
Like the trifecta.
Sure.
It's that dildo that's three-sided. You use it in prison.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, I mentioned it on one of our previous casts.
I don't listen to you.
I don't listen to our cast.
Yeah, I'm so not surprised that neither of you remember that. Because I think the reaction at the time was just silence.
And then if I listened to everything you said, Chris, I would just be so depressed after each podcast of just putting me down. You completely destroyed my childhood with this podcast.
Oh,
I just don't listen to you anymore.
That's my goal as a person anyway, is to just destroy people's childhoods.
Oh, I thought it was just to continually berate them into the point where they just ignore you so you can blissfully live amongst everyone as an invisible human being.
That's not too far off the mark, I don't think.
It's really, really accurate assessment of me as a person. Is it my pick next time, speaking of which?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good, because who I've actually been listening to lately, because I had to open up my thing, is going to be my pick for next time. Mr. Steve Earle is who I'm picking.
Yeah. Oh, I'm into that. That sounds like it's going to be fun times.
It will be. It will be, because a huge Steve Earle fan, also part of my music renaissance. I'm just going to go through everyone that was ever even slightly involved in my musical renaissance, and eventually we'll have 300 episodes. But I was way into them, and then I moved out to Boise right around the time, like Copperhead now. It must have been around the time, maybe it was Copperhead Road came out. But it was like, you know, 2004-ish, 2005. Maybe it was Revolution Starts Now, actually. So I, like, missed everything he did, like, after that. Like, I just totally forgot about him for no reason. And I recently was like, oh, I have Spotify, Steve Earle, yay! And I went back and I was like, oh, he's still so great. So that's what I want to pick for next time.
And he was friends with Townes Van Zandt.
He is madly in love with Townes Van Zandt. And rightfully so.
We should do a Townes Van Zandt show at some
point. That would be a good show, too. Maybe someday.
Nobody would listen to it, but we'd have
Steve Earle would.
Steve Earle. We'll tweet it to him.
All right. Someone's doing a town show. I think he has a Townes, according to Spotify, he has a Townes like tribute album. So.
Oh. Well, he has a son named Justin Townes Earle. Right?
Is that his son?
think so.
This is going to be This is going to be crazy if I didn't put this together.
Justin Townsend is actually a musician in his own right as well, if I remember
correctly. Oh, he's great. Yeah. I've seen him live. He's really very good.
Steve Earle's son, dude.
No way.
I mean, freaking think about it. Justin Townsend Earle.
I thought that was just like his thing, man.
And remember, trifecta.
Exactly. See, now it's the thing. Yeah, you're fucking right. Man. No, he's really good, too. And much like Steve Earle, you know, in and out of prison his whole life and writing really sweet songs about it. cool. Yeah, so that's going to be next week. Steve Earle. That's going to be fun.
Anything else anybody has to contribute?
Cock talk. Did we forget anything? Did we hit all of our bingo things this week?
I think we got it all.
I couldn't remember if that was Miami or Ohio or who was sitting with me. Wilco and Jen. I'm like, whoa. That blew my mind. I'd be drunk right now. This is a drinking game. Yeah.
We handed out Dinosaur Juniors. I was belittled.
That's a bingo square in its own
right. Yeah, it's the free space. I think this is going to happen no matter what.
I don't think either of us belittled your music choice, though.
No.
Ultimately. No. We shared our opinions.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. I really am. I genuinely.
Much like in middle school, you're handling this very maturely.
I thank you for God, and I'm being very honest. I thank you for the respectful and tactful comments that you had about them. I understand they're not for everyone, but I honestly thank you for taking the time out to at least give them a chance and listen to them. So,
yeah. Hell yeah, dude, that's our job.
So, yeah. Yeah, like I literally have to.
I'm gonna start picking the shittiest bands just so you have to listen.
Oh, so you're gonna go the Brandon Timberlake movie club way?
I was about gonna say the Nathan Smallman way, but okay.
Because remember, like it got to a point there where like he was so low in the rankings that he just like fuck it, I'm just gonna pick whatever the fuck.
Destroying the curve.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. And now he's in jail. So he destroyed the fuck out of that curve.
Awesome. This is a great way to end it. for the Static Podcast, I'm Robert.
I'm John.
I'm Rupert.
Rupert, the Italian horror film director. And we're going to go ahead and end with apparently the most beloved track from the two guys that don't like them. The one and a half guys. This is Digital Bath from Deftones off of the album White Pony.
Bye, everybody.